And this morning, without wasting any time, I want us to go to the ministry of the word, as we are going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 2, and we are going to read from verse 1 to verse 4, and I am going to read. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by the angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, what God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. Let's pray. Dear Father God, God of our souls, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. We stand in awe and in adoration for all the beauties and the glories of Christ. We thank you that you deemed it right, Lord, to reveal Jesus Christ to us through your Holy Spirit. And this morning we receive your word as you have written it. We submit to its authority over our lives. Lord, we ask you to bless the preaching of your word this morning. We pray that your Spirit will be upon me, even as I preach your word, and that also it will be upon those that are sitting at home listening to your word. Because your word, it is the only thing that can bring us to faith in Jesus Christ. Because you have said in your word, faith comes by hearing, and the hearing of your word. Help us, Lord, this morning to pay attention to what your word is saying to us. Help us, Lord, that we will respond accordingly to your word this morning, that we would not ignore or take light the only means to which we can be saved. Father God, our hearts cry out to you this morning that you will save those who have not surrendered their lives to you, that this morning they will be drawn to you, they will be drawn to your Son, Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit will be at work in their hearts, even as we minister your word this morning. Dear Lord, we pray that you will encourage those who have already surrendered their lives to Jesus, that they will hold on to him as the author and the finisher of our faith, as the founder of our salvation and the captain of our souls. Lord, this morning we pray, save us, O Lord, save us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this morning, friends, we are coming to chapter 2 and from verse 1 to verse 4. This is the first of the five warning passages that we will find in this great book, the book of Hebrews. And the warning that we are getting this morning, it is the warning against neglecting salvation. The warning against neglecting salvation. And as I have said last week, I believe that everything that was said in chapter 1 was building up, the exposition that we saw in chapter 1 was actually building up to this part, where we now, the author would challenge the audience to say that, now that you know who Jesus is, now that you know everything about the Son of God, what are you going to do? So we are coming to this exhortation passage. And we have seen in the previous chapter a good exposition of the greatness of Jesus Christ, his supremacy and his excellence above everything and above everyone else. And we have seen that God has spoken to us in these last days through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the author is almost now putting application. So he gave them a good grounding doctrinally, and now he wants the doctrine to be applied in their lives. The question is like almost a saying, now that you know this, so what is it that you should do? What are the implications? What should they do after hearing all the things that he has said? What is the change that is demanded upon their lives? The passage that we are reading this morning is the pinnacle and the apex and the peak and the high point of the argument that he presented to the very last verse of the previous chapter. What is it that the author wants these listeners to do? And at the same time, what should be our response, friends? And this morning, I have divided this message into three points that will help us understand the severity and the seriousness and the intensity and the urgency through which the author wrote. So this morning, my message is entitled, "We Should Not Neglect This Great Salvation." We should not neglect this great salvation. And I am going to draw your attention to three things that we find in this passage. The first one that I want you to see is that we are encouraged, we are exhorted to pay attention to what we have heard. And secondly, we are warned against drifting away. And number three, we see the certainty of the judgment of God for those who drift away and for those who neglect this great salvation. May God help us this morning. And when you look at verse 1, as I've already read it, let me read it again. "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away." And this is something that the author wanted these people to understand, friends. So he says that they must pay attention to what they have heard. And this chapter starts with that word "therefore," that linking and connecting word "therefore," to say that what is going to come is connected to what has been said already. And he says they must pay closer attention to what they have heard. You know, friends, when I look at this, I realize that it's so easy for most of us to hear what is being said, but it is another thing to pay attention to it. It is another thing to act on the basis of what we have heard. Let us look at what is it that these people have heard. And I just want, at the risk of repeating myself, let me go through this thing again. Friends, what the author has already said to these people about Jesus Christ, and he has already, made a strong argument on the supremacy of Jesus Christ above angels and above everyone else. And he has said that God has spoken to us in these last days through his Son, Jesus Christ, that same whom God appointed to be the heir of everything, through whom he also created everything. We have heard, friends, that the Son is the radiance of the glory of God, and he is the exact imprint of God's nature, and that he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Finally, we heard that the Son of God, Jesus himself, after making purification for our sins, he sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high, where he has become superior to angels because the name that he has inherited is more excellent. It is better than theirs. Friends, these people have just heard that Jesus, the Son, is the beholden of the Father. The Father unapologetically, unequivocally, and brazenly declares that he is his only begotten Son, and angels are commanded to worship him. We have heard that the Son, he is God himself. He possesses the power and the authority as can only be possessed and executed by God. We heard that the same Son laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of his hands, and he is eternal and his kingdom is forever. His years are without an end. He is from eternity to eternity, and he exists from everlasting to everlasting. We have heard, friends, that heaven and earth will pass, but he remains forever, and that at the end of time, the Bible says, he will roll them up like a garment. So the Son has got all the power, all the dominion, and all the rule given to him by the Father. And he's above all the principalities and the rulers. He's above the angels that brought the law to Moses. He is above all of them. Now, friends, these are the things that these people have heard. And what is the author saying here is that after hearing this, they must pay earnest attention. They must pay closer attention to what they have heard. In other words, paying attention. He is saying to them, now that they know this, they've got to apply themselves to what they have heard. They must consider the implications of what they have heard. They must exercise caution about what they have heard, and they must act on what they have heard. And in fact, friends, he is saying to them, they must respond to what they have heard, because that is the whole reason behind the whole idea behind him explaining to them who Jesus Christ is. Remember, we said, friends, these are Jews who have converted from Judaism to Christianity. But as you read here, you get the idea that these people were at the brink, because of persecution and many other things, they were at the brink of reverting back to their old ways. It might be that some of them were converted, moved, changed from one religion to the other, but they never really had committed their lives to Christ. They did not have a living relationship with him. They had not experienced him as the Savior. To them, being Christians was more like having changed one religion from one religion to the other. But now he's saying, your understanding of who Jesus Christ is must change something. You've got to pay attention. The same way as Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verse 24, be careful what you hear. Friends, we've got to be careful of what we hear. If we have heard the message of the gospel, there must be a response. This is a message that demands a response. And the response is to the effect that they must not miss the main thing here. The main thing is that Jesus came to save. And he saves. And he saves. And nobody can save. Him and him alone can save. So they must pay careful attention of what they have heard. They cannot ignore what they have heard. They cannot look away. They cannot unhear what they have already heard. And friends, I am reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew's chapter 7. And I just want to take a few verses then. In verse 21, where Jesus said to the disciples, and he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. In verse 24, Jesus said, and everyone then who hears the words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. Great was the fall. So what you see here, friends, is that what Jesus is saying here is that there's a difference between hearing and after hearing. There's a difference between hearing and doing. And what Jesus is saying here is that if a man will hear his word and not do according to it. He is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And when the storms came and blew against that house, it collapsed. And Jesus said, great was its destruction. But anyone who hears the word of God and does it, Jesus said, he's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the time of torrential rains and storms came and blew against the house was still standing because it was built upon the rock. This is to say, friends, those that heard and did according to the word of Jesus, they are the ones who paid attention to the words. And those that heard and still did not do, they are the ones who did not pay attention to the word. And so the author of the book of this book here, he is saying, pay attention to what you have heard. All the things heard said about Jesus, everything about his supremacy should not be in vain. It should ignite something in you. It should touch something in you. It should lead you to some action, and that action is to turning to him. They've got to turn to Jesus, and they must continually be turning to him. In any situation, every circumstance that they would come across, they must remember that Jesus is the only one they have. They do not have any other option. They only have Jesus to turn to. So these people, they heard, but they did not pay attention. And so, friends, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, we see that the Bible talks about people that hear the word, and this is what the Bible says, that for the good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. And so it's more like they heard the message, they heard the good news, but they did not pay attention to them. And the message they heard, they did not allow it to create faith in them so that they could believe in the Son of God, and that they would then turn to him. So they are warned here to pay attention, more closer attention, more earnest heed to what they have heard. And these people look like, the author was saying, they should not be like people who just hear and they never respond. And that's what we see today in our churches, that people go to church and hear the word, where the word is preached, and go home the same way they came. They don't do, even after hearing the word of God, they don't commit their lives to Christ. So the people that are being addressed here, they are not different. They are not different from many people of our days. They are in church. They have been baptized. Their names appear in the membership rolls of the church. Some even have the church uniform. They serve in the leadership positions in the church. They believe everything about Jesus. They understand the gospel. They know the gospel. They know when you are not preaching the gospel, and they know when you are preaching the gospel. They know about the forgiveness of sins. And yet their knowledge and understanding of the gospel has not brought them to the one most important thing, which is the salvation of their souls. So we are warned here that, friends, we must pay attention to the words that we hear. The point is that these words, they must bring us to a place where we realize our own sinfulness, and we realize our need for the Savior, Jesus Christ. The message has been repeated so many times to their ears. They can even correct the preacher if he veers off the road. They know the scriptures. They've memorized the scriptures since when they were in the children's ministry. They sing gospel songs, and everything has become, the gospel message has become so familiar to them that it has lost meaning. It does not impact them anymore. To them, Jesus is nothing but a distant thought. They pay no attention to their own sinfulness, and they pay no attention to their need for salvation and their need for the Savior. These people, they are in our churches, friends. They are satisfied with belonging to a church. They've decided that they want to go to hell, but at least they must still belong to a church. They have decided that they don't want God. They don't want to repent. And yet they still want to become members of the church because they want to have a decent funeral where a preacherman will come and preach. They have decided that serving in the church, playing musical instruments, teaching children's ministry, leading youth groups and leading women's groups, it's more important to them than the salvation of their souls. They've neglected the most important thing, friends, the salvation of their souls. They enjoy the community of God's people, but they continue to neglect the salvation of their souls. I can almost hear Jesus saying, "What good is it for a man that he will gain the whole world and still lose his soul? And what is it that a price that a man can pay in exchange to his soul?" Nothing, friends. Our souls need salvation. We must pay attention to these words, and these words are the words that will bring salvation to us. These people, they are satisfied with belonging to the church, even if they are not Christians. They are in the church of God, but they reject God. They are in the church of Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church, but they are not paying attention to his word. They've got friends who are Christians. They've got parents who are Christians. And they have colleagues who are Christians. They even know Christian language. They know how to greet like Christians. They know how to talk like Christians. And sometimes you can even mistake them and think that they are Christians. But no, friends, they haven't given their lives to Jesus Christ. And as a result, they will die and go to hell. Friends, we are encouraged this morning to pay attention to the word that we have heard. After we have heard, if we have not yet turned to Jesus Christ, our hearing is almost pointless. This author, he's saying here, pay attention to what you have heard. The most important thing here is not hearing. The most important thing is what you do after you have heard, friends. The main thing here is that they've got to wholeheartedly turn to Jesus Christ, and they've got to give their lives to him, and they've got to cherish him as the most glorious, as the marvelous Savior. They've got to exalt him to his place of significance, a place of supremacy in their lives. They've got to look at him and say, "You, Christ, you cannot be compared to anyone." Like we sing that song that says, "Wehlukile awulinganiswa." Friends, this is what the author is saying. They pay attention to this. And I'm talking to you as you are listening to me this morning that you've got to pay attention to this. You cannot, after hearing the word of God, continue to live as if you haven't had anything. And these people, they are called in to pay attention. You know, people that hear the word and they still don't pay attention to it. They are like those that Paul addresses when he writes to Titus, in Titus chapter 1. Now I think it's verse 10 and verse 7, 16. Where the Bible says that there are many who are insubordinate, and they are empty talkers and deceivers, and especially those who come from the circumcision party, referring to the Jews. And then he said, they profess to know God, but they deny him with their works. They are detestable, and they are disobedient. They are unfit for any good work because they have not giving their lives to Jesus. And friends, the warning this morning is that we must pay careful attention to what we have heard. And I want to say to you, all the times that you've heard the gospel, can you decide this morning, by as the Holy Spirit prompts you in your heart, as the Holy Spirit convicts you in your heart, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you in your heart, as you are listening to His word, this morning can you turn to Jesus? Can you pay attention? Paying attention means doing according to the word. Jesus made an example of a man who had two sons, and he said in Matthew chapter 21, this man came to his first son and he said to him, go and work in my vineyard today. And then this first son answered and said, I will not go. But then afterward, the Bible says he changed his mind and he went. And the father went to another son and he said to him, go work in my vineyard today. That one son said, I would go, sir. But then he didn't go. And Jesus asked the question, which of the two sons did the will of his father? And the Jews responded by saying, the first one. And Jesus said to them, truly, I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds. I think this, friends, from this we need to look at this thing that sometimes the most difficult of all sinners, the most difficult sinners are the sinners that are in the church. The most difficult people to convert are those who already think they are saved. They've got a false sense of security. They think that they are saved because they grew up in church. They think that they are saved because they've been baptized. They were baptized as children. They think just because they know the catechism, therefore that makes them saved. The sinners that are in the church, they are the most difficult to convert. They think because they can sing, and when they sing, people enjoy their singing, therefore they are saved. They can stir emotions in the hearts of people. People cry when they sing. They've got these beautiful voices, and they've got these vocal techniques that they use. And when they do that, people become emotional, and then they think, therefore I'm saved. And they think that because they know how to pray, they think because they can preach, therefore that makes them saved. And Jesus warned about this kind of people when he said that on the last day, many will come and they would say that we preached in the streets about your name, we prophesied in your name, and they would say we healed men in your name, we even casted out devils in your name. And friends, he will look at them and say, go away from me, for I did not know you, because they are in the service of the Lord without having committed their lives to the Lord. Friends, we must pay careful attention to all these things that we have heard about Jesus. And I think this is what the author was saying to these Christians or these people. And he says that if they don't pay careful attention, that takes us to our second point. We are warned in the same verse 1 that we must pay careful attention lest we drift away. So we are warned that we must pay careful attention, because if we don't do that, we will drift away from what we have heard. We will drift away from the truth. We will drift away from the only thing that can save us. The warning here is that we should not drift away. And this language of drifting away, it means to drift away. It means to slip away, to slide away. And this language has got an idea of a ship that comes into a harbor, but it is not anchored. It is not tied to the anchors, and as a result, when the currents and the storms come, this ship is swept away. It drifts away from the place of safety. It goes away, and uncontrollably so. In other words, when we hear the words of Jesus, when we hear the word of God, and we don't pay attention. What the Bible is saying here is that we are running the risk of reaching a point of no return. Drifting away means that we eventually come to a place where we become dull to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. We get to a point whereby we know we have mastered the art of silencing the voice of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We have come to a point where we have mastered the art of closing our ears to the truth, where we can embrace anything but not the truth. We have reached a point where our consciences do not strike us to repent, almost as Paul talks to Timothy and say, these people, their conscience has been seared with an iron. We eventually, when we do not pay attention to the words of Jesus, to the word of God, we come to a point where we cannot turn to him anymore, but we turn to other things. And even people eventually turn to other religions. They never seek the Lord anymore. If they want help, they will not come to the Lord. In Psalm 121, David says, I would lift up my eyes to the hills. From where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. And somewhere in Psalm 60, David says that the Lord is my refuge and he is my hiding place. And it's only in him where my soul finds rest. But friends, it is not so with a person who has drifted away from the truth. Because he does not want the truth anymore. He does not want the Lord anymore. He does not seek the salvation of his soul anymore. He does not want the safety and the security that Jesus gives to those that turn to him. They don't want it anymore. They rather try to find something else. And they walk away from God and get into other religions. And then you will hear them talking on TV saying that, I have tried Christianity when I was young. I grew up in church. I tried Christianity. I tried God, but it didn't help. And therefore, I found comfort and solace. I found something else, something better than Jesus. Let me tell you, friends, there is nothing better than Jesus. We will not find anything better than Jesus. We would not find anything that can satisfy our souls than Jesus Christ. Friends, it is Jesus, the bread of life. He said in John chapter 6 that I am the bread of life. It is Jesus, friends, the light of the world. It is Jesus, the gate to which we can enter the kingdom of God. It is Jesus, the good shepherd. And he said, those that are in his hands, no one can pluck them away. And friends, it is Jesus who said, I am the resurrection and life. It is Jesus who said, I am the truth and the way and the life. It is Jesus, the way to God. And besides him, we cannot go to God. We cannot approach God through anyone else and through anything else, only through Jesus. But when men drift away from the truth, they seek salvation in things that they have created. They seek salvation from men's philosophy and ideas. They go to man-made religions to try to find God there. And friends, they will seek, but they will not find him because they have turned away from the truth that could have saved them. Jesus said to the Jews that were listening to him, he said, you know the truth and the truth will set you free. He said in verse 36 that, for if the Son of God sets you free, you will be free indeed. There's no freedom in any other, no salvation in any other, but only in Jesus. The only day when we would be free and free indeed is the day when we come and give our lives to Jesus. And we are warned, friends, here that we do not drift away. But the drifting away happens because men did not pay attention to the word of God. Jesus said, I am the true vine. He said, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. Friends, we are warned here that if we do not pay careful attention, we will drift away. We will drift away. And I think that Paul was thinking about these people that would have drifted away from the truth when he was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. And he said that for the time is coming. In verse 1, he says, preach the word. He says, I charge you before God that you must preach the word. He says, preach it in season and out of season. Preach it when the circumstances permit and even when they do not permit. He says, preach the word. And then he tells him the reason in verse 3, and he says, for the time is coming when people would not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers that will suit their own passions, and they will turn away from listening to the truth, and they will wander off into myths. Friends, is it not what we are witnessing today? Whereby people that we thought were Christians all along, they are now turning away from the truth, turning away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, turning away from the message of the cross, turning away from the fact that Jesus came into this world and he lived a sinless life. Jesus came and he died at the cross for our sins, and then he was buried and rose from the dead on the third day, and that he was taken up to heaven, and that God has made him Lord above everything else. And we are turning away from these great teachings by the apostles because we have turned away from the truth. And people don't want to hear messages about Jesus. All that people want to hear today is who their enemies are. When are they going to have those big mansions and drive those luxury cars? And when are they going to get their promotions? And how other people are going to come and bow down before them and worship them. Today, when you listen to what preachers are preaching, and you would be surprised that as they preach this nonsense, people in the pews will be standing up clapping their hands, because you have a carnal preacher, you've got a sinful preacher preaching to carnal and sinful people sitting in the pews. You've got a preacher who is an apostate, a preacher who has turned away from the truth, standing in front of a crowd that has turned away from the truth, and therefore they don't want to hear the truth anymore. They want people that would teach what suits their own passions. They want people to preach myths, and they are pursuing them so much. And so these are the results of, friends, of failure to pay attention to the word of God. Christians cannot neglect salvation because they are saved. They cannot neglect the salvation of the Savior because they are in the Savior, they are in Christ. And so when you see people neglecting God, when we see people pursuing worldliness and loving the world and the things of this world and still living in sin, and they still claim to be Christians, we must know that they are liars. Because if they were really committed to Christ, they would be pursuing Christ. They would be pursuing his will. And so what we see here, friends, is that they must pay careful attention lest they drift away. But the language that you see here means that the drifting away does not happen instantly. The drifting away does not happen immediately. The drifting away is a slow but sure process. They are slightly sliding away, so much that they don't even realize that they are sliding away, because they fail to pay attention to the word of God. I'm reminded of what Jesus said when he was helping us to understand different responses to the gospel. Friends, we are warned this morning not to neglect salvation. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 8 in the parable of the sower. And he says that when the disciples came and they asked about the meaning of the parable, Jesus said to them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now, this is the parable. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word of God from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for those that, in the good soil, they are those who hearing the word, they hold fast in an honest and a good heart, and they bear fruit with much patience. So friends, we must pay careful attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. And I think it is in this parable, at least we understand how these things happen. People come, they've heard the word, but because they don't pay attention to it, it is easy for them to slide away. I mean to slide and to drift away from it. They are swept by the things of this world to follow them. And so these are like the people who heard the word of God and the seed that fell along the path. And the Bible said when the seed fell along the path, people came and they trampled upon it and it died. So Jesus said here, the devil comes after they've heard the word because they're not paying attention to it. The devil comes and he steals it from their hearts, and then they don't believe and they are not even saved. And then the ones that fell upon the rock tried to grow, but it didn't grow too far. It didn't go too far because it was shallow. So it's like the people that hear the word and they say, we've received it, but then they have no root. They are not in Christ. They believe only for a while. Probably they believe for some reasons. They believe because they've been promised certain things. But then when the true testing of their faith comes, you just realize that these people never believed. And how do we know they never believed? They fall away. They fall away. And they never come back. And those that heard the word of God, the seed that fell among the thorns, they are those who hear the word. And as they go along the way, it doesn't say they believed here. No, friends. They just heard the word. They heard the word. And as they go along the way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life. And their fruit does not mature. Their fruit does not come into being. They never get to bear the fruits of salvation, the fruits of repentance. Because they never repented in the first place. They drift away, move away. And so friends, this is the serious warning here, that we must be careful, friends, that we don't come to a place whereby we have enjoyed so much of the church that we never enjoyed the joys of Christ. That we have known so much about Jesus that we never get to know him. That we have known so much of God that we never get to know God. That we've known so much of the Bible that we never get to experience it. We have drifted away from it. There are many people that can quote scriptures. You know, I was telling somebody and saying that some of the most difficult people to give counseling to are pastors. Especially when the men's heart has turned away. You go there and you try to reason with them. You give them scriptures. They also give you scriptures. You give them a scripture and you try to explain it. They actually explain it better to you. They actually show you that your hermeneutics is wrong. But yet they are not repenting. They are not turning to God. They are still walking away from God. They are still carrying their sins, carrying on with their life of sin. Yet they know the Bible. Friends, may we never get to this place where we have drifted away so much from God and that we do not desire to turn to him anymore. And I think Jude, so we see what is happening here. I think in the book of Jude, he talks about these people and he talks about how their judgment has already been prepared. Friends, if a man will reject Jesus, to these people, to the first recipients of the book of Hebrews, why would they reject Christ after hearing so much about him? Why would they want to go back to the Old Testament sacrificial system after Jesus has given his life as a savior? Why would they want to go back, friends, to worshiping angels when even angels worship Jesus? Why would you reject the savior who has loved you so much and gave up his life for you? We must pay careful attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from the truth. And we begin to enjoy things that are not supposed to be enjoyed. We begin to be satisfied by things that are not supposed to satisfy our souls. And we begin to find refuge and in places where we are not supposed to find refuge. And we begin to embrace things that we were not supposed to embrace. And I want to call upon you, my brother, call upon you, my sister, that if you have heard the word of God, please pay careful attention. And friend, please, this morning as you hear the word of God, watch out, be careful, that as you continue to become dull of hearing the word and the truth, eventually you are going to define yourself outside the grace of God. And friends, there is a reason here why these people, they need to pay careful attention. And there is a reason why they are warned not to drift away from the truth. And we see this in verse 2 to verse 4. We see the certainty of the judgment of God. So, in this warning passage, the warning is that they must not neglect salvation. They must not make light of it. They must not ignore it. They must not reject it. Because if they do this thing, if they do it, they must only know this one thing. Just want to read for you Hebrews chapter 2, our text from verse 3 to verse 4. Therefore, let me rather start from this one. Therefore, we must pay much close attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, and how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witnesses by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. Friends, what I want you to see here is that there is the judgment of God upon those that are not paying attention to His word and those who are drifting away. And we see here how the author starts by saying, for since the message that was declared by the angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution. Let's go here, friends. He's talking about a message declared by angels. And he is talking here about the law of Moses. We have already said it last week already that how the Bible talks about how the angels, how when God descended on Mount Sinai, accompanied by the multitudes of angels, and he delivered the law to Moses. And so he is saying to them, that law given by Moses, given to Moses by the angels, it was reliable, it was true. And he says that every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution. In other words, it was firm, friends. The Old Testament, the law of Moses and the prophets, the Old Testament is as inspired as the New Testament is. Both the Old and the New Testament, they are the Word of God. We look at the two in the same way. We don't say the Old Testament is better than the New and the New is better than the Old. But we see that what was promised in the Old Testament was fulfilled in the New Testament. And the New Testament, if we want to understand what's going on in the New Testament, we go to the Old Testament. And friends, the Word of God is reliable. In fact, when Paul was talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 16, if you may just go there with me, 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want you to go with me to verse 15. And he says to Timothy here, and how from your childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wiser for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training and in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. In fact, Paul was reading and referring to the Old Testament. They had the Septuagint, which was the Greek, the Old Testament that was translated into the Greek language. And he said it is the Word of God, and he said it makes us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And he said the same word is profitable for teaching, for correction, for reproof, and for training in righteousness, so that we may be complete and mature and equipped to serve God and to do every good work. And so, why am I quoting this? I'm trying to bring to your mind the fact that the word of God that was given in the Old Testament was reliable and true. That's how God revealed himself. That's why the law was not given to Gentiles. It was not given to unbelievers. The law was given to those that have already believed God, the Israelites. Israel was given the word of God because he was chosen by God to be the light through which God was going to reveal himself in the world. But here's the point, friends. The Bible says every transgression, every disobedience, anyone who transgressed against the law, anyone who disobeyed the law, anyone who went against the law, anyone who overstepped the boundaries of the law, the Bible says he received a just retribution. He received a just judgment and punishment. Let me give you two examples. If you go to 2 Samuel chapter 6 and you go to verse 5 to verse 8, the Bible talks about when David, the ark of the Lord was being taken by David to his house, back to Jerusalem. And then the Bible says, and David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him down there because of his error, and he died there beside the ark of God. And David was angry because the Lord had broken out against Uzzah, and that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. So we see here, friends, that in the Old Testament, God had commanded that no one should handle the ark of God. Only the Levites and the priests could handle it. And as the ark of God is put on this cart, and the oxen that were pulling it, they stumble. And as they stumble, Uzzah reaches out for a good cause, friends. He's trying to stop the ark of God from falling. And the Bible says God was not displeased. God struck him dead right there. The anger of the Lord was kindled against him. And God struck him down there because of his error. And he died right next to the ark of God. And David and all those who were with him, they looked at it. And David was angry. He was disappointed that God had broken out against Uzzah. But it is the word of God. When God says do not, he means do not. We see it again in Numbers chapter 16, from verse 31 to verse 33, when the sons of Korah stood against Moses. And God commanded Moses, and he said, let me deal with them. And as soon as he had finished speaking all these words, the ground under them split, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and with their households and all the people who belonged to Korah and all their goods. And so they and all that belonged to them went down alive into Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. And these people, they were opposing Moses. They wanted to offer sacrifices, and God had not given them that mandate. God had given Moses how and who should do the sacrifices, who was to represent God before the people. And they disobeyed. And friends, what happens next? God strike them dead. The Bible says God opened up the ground they were standing on, and they were swallowed up. They were swallowed. They went down to hell alive. All of them, they and their people and all the things they had went down to hell with them. And so we see that anyone who had trespassed against the law of Moses, if a person had committed fornication, he would be taken out of the city, at the gates of the city, and he would be stoned to death. Now, what the author is saying here is that if that was serious, friends, anyone who disobeyed the law of Moses faced just retribution. How much more? How shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect this salvation? You see what he's saying? He's saying the judgment of God will be more severe
to those who neglect his son, to those who reject the sacrifice of his son, to those who do not want to hide under the blood of his son, to those who make light his salvation, to those who make light the punishment that God himself meted on his son, the judgment of God will be severe. Contrary to modern day belief that the God of the Old Testament was angry and he was a God of wrath, and the God of the New Testament is the God of grace, he will not send people to hell. The author is saying here, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation that was declared by first by the Lord and attested to us by those who heard? He is saying here what we will have after hearing the message of the gospel, after hearing all the good things about Jesus. If we drift away, we must be sure of one thing, the judgment of God that's going to come upon us. And Paul in the book of Romans chapter 1, he talks about this judgment of God, the wrath of God that is falling upon men and women that have rejected him, that have decided that they would not serve him and worship him, even if they know that he is God. They don't want to give him the glory. They rather worship what he has created. And the Bible says that because God made sure that all that can be known of him is revealed to them, so that there shall be no one with an excuse. Therefore, friends, we will not escape if we neglect this salvation. If we make it light, take it light. If we see it as something that we don't need. If we look at Jesus and say, I don't need that one. We are going to stand before God one day. How will we escape? There'll be more judgment. There'll be more severe judgment here. For we read even in this book, in chapter 10, verse 31, that our God is a consuming fire. And we hear that in chapter 10, that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So we are going to stand before God, friends, here. We are going to stand before him. Those that neglect his word, God will repay them. He will judge them, because it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So this judgment, it's sure. You can reject this message. You can reject Jesus. You can say, no, God will not do it. But friend, I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And how do I know that it will happen? Because the words that were spoken by the Savior are going to come to pass. Not even a single word that Jesus promised will fall on the ground. It will surely come to pass. How shall we escape? Friend, how do you think you'll escape the judgment of God? You wouldn't. And I urge you this morning, pay attention to these words of the Savior. Come to him this morning. Give him your life this morning. For we are told here that if we cannot escape, how are we going to escape? If we neglect this great salvation. It is a great salvation, because it is a greater salvation than the salvation of the Israelites out of Egypt to Canaan. It is a great salvation given to us by the great God through his great son, Jesus Christ. It is a great salvation that has got an eternity. We are saved in this world, and after we've been saved, we are waiting for the final act of that salvation, when eventually when we would die or Christ would come whilst we are still alive, and we shall be there with him, and we will enjoy all the glories and the splendor of heaven and all the pains and the persecutions and the sufferings that we have endured in this world will be a thing of the past, and we shall be there with him singing praises and glory to the Savior, and he shall be not only our light, but he would light up the whole of heaven, and we will be in his presence forever and ever. Friends, this is what God is saying. How should we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? The same salvation that was first declared by the Lord himself. Jesus came, he declared it. The message that Jesus was giving was the message of salvation. Luke chapter 19 verse 10, we are told, for the Son of God has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, you shall give birth to your son, and you will give him the name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. Acts chapter 4 verse 12, for salvation is in no other. There's no other name given to us for salvation but the name of Jesus. And Paul says there's only one mediator between God and man, only Jesus Christ the man. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 8 verse 16, we are told that Jesus, he is the mediator of the new covenant that is based on better promises. And in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27, the Bible says he is able to save to the uttermost those that come to him. He is able to save them to the uttermost, to save them completely and entirely. He saves, friends, he's able. How will we escape if we neglect this salvation that was declared by him? Then secondly, it was declared by those that heard it from him. This is in reference to the apostles and those that lived around the time when Jesus was alive. So the author is saying to these people being Jews that even though you didn't hear Jesus, but you only heard the gospel to the apostles, from the apostles, that does not mean you will escape the judgment of God if you neglect this salvation. And he goes on to say that while God also bore witnesses by signs and wonders and various miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Just want to make a few observations here. The first thing that we see is that the message preached was the message of salvation. And the second thing we see is that the signs and wonders and various miracles happened to confirm the miracles. Exactly as Mark says that when the apostles were going on preaching the gospel, God worked with them and confirming the word with the miracles that were taking place. And John would say to us in John chapter 20 verse 30, he says that now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So this message was preached by Jesus, it was preached by the disciples, and God confirmed what they were preaching through the miracles and the signs that were taking place. And finally, God confirmed the message of the gospel by shedding the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. And friends, this will be a topic for another day. It suggests that the gifts of the Spirit are received according to the will of God. There is nothing like one person imparting his gift, the gift that God has given to him, to another person. It is God who gives, and he gives accordingly in confirmation and confirmation of the word that is being preached. And all these things, they bring us to one conclusion. We should not neglect this great salvation. And dear friend, as I come to the end of this message, I want to invite you that if you have not given your life to Jesus, Jesus still saves this morning. I want you to stand there and look and take an honest look at your heart, an honest look at yourself. And if you know that you have not been saved, you are not saved, you have not been born again, even if you've been in church, even if you have confessed it with your mouth before, but this is the time that you make sure you're calling. It is the time when you can say, Lord, I am not going to neglect what I've heard about Jesus. I am not going to make it light. I am not going to look away. And I do not want to turn away from this. And I want to turn to it. And the Bible says that if we turn to him, as many as those that will call upon his name, they will be saved. May God bless you. Dear Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that you gave as a ransom for our sin, and that you gave as a propitiation for our sins. Thank you, Lord, that without him, we wouldn't be saved. And Lord, I ask this morning that help us that we may never, never neglect the salvation, may never look away from the salvation that can only be found in him. And I pray for those that have heard the word this morning and those whose lives are going to turn to you this morning, that God, you will receive them as your own in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you and we bless you. Amen.